It's time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Cynthia, are you there?
Good morning, I'm here.
Janet, are you there?
Yes. Boy, it makes life interesting, though, right?
It has a little bit of excitement.
Yeah, right. Live radio, nothing like it.
We're going to get him a producer one of these days.
One of these days. All right, let's go right to the pages of the Lakeville Journal. And one of the main stories that's on the front page is a big story that you've done, Cynthia, on the eventual passing of the baton of the movie house in Millerton, New York, talks a little bit about Carol, the decisions that were made, and the future.
This is very important to a lot of people for a lot of reasons, and it's not just a movie theater. It's really a community arts center, as Carol Sadlin explained in a long interview that I had with her last week. Carol and her late husband, Robert, did so much for the town of Millerton, which was really a little down on its heels at the time that they bought the theater. And they not only just completely buffed and beautified the building that they're in, but also were a big part of the renaissance of Millerton that we're all enjoying right now, where, you know, beautiful little shops and really such a magnet to people from all over the area to come to on a weekend. So after Robert died, I think it was a year and a half ago, you know, it was a lot for Carol already to be shouldering the running of that business on her own. But then because of COVID, she had to lay off most of her staff. So she really was running it alone at a very complicated time when they were trying to do a lot of things and trying to do it virtually, and everything that had been done in a certain way was being done in a different way. And as Carol said, you know, I'm past retirement age. So she felt that it was time to put it on the market. And I think that everybody who knows Carol is most worried about how Carol is doing. And I'd say she feels a little bit of a weight has been lifted off her shoulder. That was a lot to keep going, a lot of community expectation, a lot of community love in that theater. And she has a very good agent who is a film buff and apparently has a number of people lined up to look at it. So we'll hope that that works out well for Carol and for the community.
Yeah, it's you know, once you create something that has become a destination, which
or
is
a fixture.
At first it made Millerton a destination point for something different, and that just led to other things coming on, including businesses, the rail trail. I mean, we can name a lot of different things that have gone on since, but the movie house started it all, and it's a big responsibility, and hopefully the people that that come in and run it again take on that responsibility the way the Sadlons did for so many years. All right, then right opposite that, really, you've got nice color pictures and everything. It was a time to thank veterans, and you've got a story on that on the front page as well.
We do, and it links into the inside, so maybe we'll talk about that when we get in. But a beautiful photo of, if I may say so myself, of Petty Officer John Fitzgerald saluting in front of the historic Doughboy in nice pictures of young people who are able to attend the ceremony with their dad in Salisbury, but we'll talk about it when we get inside.
All right, and the Council of Governments with zoning laws.
This is a big deal, and I think that if you pay attention to the northwest corner, a lot of the energy here is benevolent stamping down of development. And I think that secretly or not so secretly, people are very happy with the fact that there's pretty low density of housing here. So what's happening is a group called Desegregate Connecticut, for reasons that are very humanitarian, are coming to the state and saying we want to override some local zoning and make it easier and more possible for people to build more new houses and, of course, affordable housing. And that's a big deal around here, especially right now. And so it'll be interesting to see if that change is made and if it does impact the way that our towns look, because the towns each has its own town of plan of conservation and development. All of our towns benefit from being able to vote and kind of say, we really want our towns to kind of have a nice rural country feeling. And I think that the members of the COG, which is the 21 first selectmen of this area, are all very nervous about what this this change could have for our the way our towns look and function.
All right. And a story by Patrick Sullivan with Thanksgiving near. Thoughts turn to turkeys.
And they're out everywhere. If you're driving around, you're seeing lots and lots of turkeys. Patrick explains how the turkey population has grown. If you've lived here for 10 or more years, you've been able to see year to year there are more and more wild turkeys. They seem to repopulate beautifully. And he'll explain that along with the white-tailed deer, much of the repopulation was done at the Great Mountain Forest, which is in Norfolk and Falls Village. But the big question that remains unanswered is, can you cook them? And Patrick promised he would talk to a local hunter who specializes in hunting wild turkeys and cooking them.
And a story on the Little Guild, not only on their run and WAG, which was virtual this year, but on the new leadership at the Little Guild.
The Little Guild, again, is like the movie has. It's a very important emotionally and economically corner, part of the Northwest Corner. A lot of people come here to buy their pets. And what had started out years ago was people used to come up here with their pets, especially dogs, and they would either come up for the summer or they would come up for hunting season. And sometimes the animals would either get loose and get lost in the woods, or people would rent a house for the summer. And then when they went back to the city, they would have a pet that they had to get rid of. So you needed a place to benevolently care for these animals and find a new residence for them. The Little Guild has grown into a very big deal around here. People feel very strongly about it. A lot of people volunteer with it. They've had a lot of change in leadership in recent years, and they now have Jenny Langenorfer, who has a really interesting background. Lila Hawken talked to her, talked about the run and WAG, and talked about her background and plans for the future.
Yeah, it's and by the way, they're running the virtual run and WAG, all the virtual stuff that has been done, even going to the Beast that's being put on in Lakeville. It's amazing how many people are supporting these virtual ventures out there.
People still want to run and walk,
and they want to support too. They want to support these organizations, which is really great. Inside Berkshire Taconica started a community grant program.
Right. Berkshire Taconica continuing to do really, really fantastic work in the area, and we try to put as much as we can on this A2 page, scholarships and grant programs, and a really nice new program from a really benevolent, again, long-term, iconic local organization.
And we learned this week of the passing of Roland Trinati. I know his sons and daughters. I went to school when Roland moved back from Hawaii and came back to Housatonic Valley Regional High School. It's sad to see him go. What a terrific, great guy.
Right. And for many of us who knew Roe through the years and just adored him, he was very twinned with Jack Mahoney. And, of course, when Jack Mahoney passed, that was a great loss. Another big blow, Roland Chinati. You'll notice if you're looking at the paper this week, it's a very small obit. Yeah. And that is just really a placeholder for next week. We got this at the last minute. He had passed away, but the family really put a lot of love and energy into putting together a story of his life, which is very interesting. And you can find it on our website, and it will be in next week's print edition. But, of course, you know, all of the obits are always very sad. And Susan Makura, I know, is very beloved at the Sharon Playhouse. They're very sad on her loss. And then Zay Foster, whose husband just died 2 weeks before she did. Again, very sad. Stephen Meldoff, another loss to glioblastoma. So always a lot of sad stories on the obit page.
All right. You've got a story out of Kent on the food drive, which was held.
Right. And we don't really have a story. It's like the holiday, the Christmas activities and festivities are being very mum, as they were with Halloween. And Salisbury, I'm slightly annoyed about this. Salisbury and town officials were saying, even like the day before Halloween, well, we don't really know if we're doing anything. But meanwhile, the schools had sent out notices to all the families. So right now, Salisbury is saying, we're not doing a parade of lights. We're not doing a carol sing. Actually, those are organized by the Chamber of Commerce. We haven't had strong confirmation. We do know that the tree is going to be lit. We don't know when. I think that what the towns are hoping is that people don't do an impromptu gathering and singing of carols because the numbers of COVID are getting so high. At the moment, the only festival that I know of is North Canaan Parade of Lights on the 29th. It's possible that that Kent will still do a parade of lights. They're not saying whether they're going to. Again, that is not up to town officials. It's up to the fire department. But they haven't said yes or no. They haven't said no. But they are continuing with food drives. The Corner Food Pantry in Lakeville doing a lot of good work with the community. All of our food pantries very much need your support right now. They're looking for volunteers, and they're looking for donations. So if you look at this little article here by Lance Christensen, you can get some information on how to support families in need in your area.
Canaan is doing their Parade of Lights in Lakeville Host Company. People have to contact the host company. They'll send Santa Claus around on a certain day to visit homes that want Santa to come. And this is also being done in, I do believe it's Dover or Dover Plains. They're doing the same thing with if you get a hold of the fire company early enough, and they'll send a fire truck to your house with Santa Claus on it as well. So there's ways of there's interesting ways in working around with all this, and we'll see what has to happen.
Yeah, and Millerton is also if you see in the Millerton news, they have the plans there. They're not going to have their usual parade, but the fire company will do a drive around town, and so do read that.
Those are, once again, our volunteers go above and beyond.
Yeah.
A story that has some impact on us here, and that is the grant approved for the Sharon Parking Lot Project. As soon as they get that grant and the funds and they match it, there'll be a much larger parking lot in the back, and we'll give up where our satellite dish is, and the town will move that and everything. So there'll be much larger parking. It'll be also drainage, and the ramp of death will be fixed.
The ramp of death in your building.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
We're looking forward to that. It's not going to be until the springtime, but in the wintertime, it is a lot of fun to get up and down that ramp.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of great color pictures on veterans on page A5.
We were so happy that all of our towns were able to honor their veterans in some ways. Falls Village did not have an outdoors festival, but they did have children from the school sent letters and photos to veterans in town, as did Cornwall. First Selectman Gordon Ridgway, very much talking about the renovation of the Allen Family Cemetery, which links us to Ethan Allen, the famous, and to the Green Mountain Boys. Kent, Andy Osif, who normally puts on quite a big show, parades and lots of activities, they had a small ceremony at their war memorial, as they did in Sharon, where they also did flag burning. Salisbury, a small cemetery town hall, they requested that people not show up. And then in North Canaan, Maria Horn came out and had a nice chat with Nick Gandolfo, who is hanging in there and looking great.
All right. And there's a book swap at the Scova Library in Salisbury?
So many people have asked me what they can do with their books. A lot of people are reading a lot. A lot of people, of course, are bringing them to the Bargain Barn.
Yes.
where famously my friend Marge DeMaray, who's a great reader, brings lots and lots of her books. But also, if you wanted to, you could bring them to the Scoville Memorial Library, which is having a book sale, and you can bring up to 8 boxes of books to give to them for future sales. And if you're nervous about coming indoors, it is an enclosed space. You can actually drive up and ask them to go find books for you, which I think is fun, like a scavenger hunt.
All right, before we get to, the final edition of the Compass, which is in the paper, I want to go skip over to the opinion and editorial pages. Your editorial, Janet, poll and postal workers deserve our thanks and respect.
Right. We just thought that in this post-election time, boy, there's a lot of disrespect going around for poll workers, and especially in our area, I think that We should be grateful that there are people who are so serious about trying to do this job right, and our postal workers the same. Certainly we're convinced that they did their absolute best to get everything to where it should be in a timely way, as always, but especially during the election. So we talk about that, and, there are certainly reasons to oversee and to keep an eye on what is going on with all elections, but a lot happened right in this past election.
Very interesting letter to the editor, and the way the headline, "Don't Recreate a Building We Voted Unanimously to Demolish" by Helen Ross.
Yes, right. And so this, of course, refers to the Holly Block in Lakeville that has created such controversy, and we had a big story about it last week, and that proposal has been pulled back for the moment, but people are looking back at the history of the town in that area, and that's good. But so Helen Kleinworth has found that in the 1960s there was a unanimous vote to tear down what had been there before, and she talks about that. So do read that, and it's surprising. I thought once the election was over, we would have much fewer letters. And we do, but we still have some interesting ones.
And also, of course, there's another housing letter in there by Stephanie Coven, but also a nice letter, Catherine Palmer Payton. People need support and accurate information.
Right. And Catherine is so committed to putting out supportive information for people, you know, especially during this time of COVID where so many people are falling through the cracks and not getting the support they need. So she really does have some good information in there. And G.A. Mudge from Sharon is talking about acting now to combat COVID. So do that and don't miss turning back the pages, too.
No, and the perfect Steiner cartoon of the ducks. It's hard to think of yourself as a golden goose and then accept that you're a lame duck.
That's right. And the drawing is just perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, it really is.
And the series on housing about EMTs. Of course, tonight is the night where there's a Zoom meeting put on by a whole group of organizations where Anne Makepeace's film on local volunteering is being shown. But this is, once again, the series on housing by Mary Close Oppenheimer.
Right, and Mary wrote more than 30 columns for us over the years on this topic, and she spoke to Bridget Ruthman, who is a journalist, actually worked at the Lakeville Journal at one time and apprenticed with Bob Estabrook, just a wonderful lady, and it tells her story of how she had housing, lost housing, and then found housing again in this area. And, it's a saga, and it is for so many people. So do give that a read. It's fascinating.
And you've got a great story in there. I did an interview once again with A.J. Stack, who is the church's priest and executive director of the food pantry in Armenia at St. Thomas Episcopal Church, how they built that new climate-controlled indoor facility to expand their food pantry for the wintertime.
We have an over-the-border section this week with some stories that we thought were very important from our militant newspaper, and one was St. Thomas Church, which is one of the really big food pantries around here, and a beautiful old church sort of right at the borderline of Sharon and Armenia, and built this facility that, you know, didn't fuss over the architectural style, just really cared about people. So that's another of these organizations that really would like your support right now. Sad story, we've had a lot of car crashes over the border and fatals in the last couple of weeks. And then Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro talking about preparations for the uptick in COVID-19 that's expected, and, you know, especially with Thanksgiving. And, boy, did I bury the lead here. Here's the biggest story of the week. I just drove by Hoosie, and there's a giant flatbed truck from Canada, and the students are unloading evergreen trees.
The trees, yeah.
For the FFA holiday store. The scent is unbelievable, and lots of young men and women there unloading all sorts of different trees and getting ready for the holiday store, which opens on November 22nd, this Sunday, and is open daily up until
Christmas Eve, basically. December 23rd, I think, is the last day
they're opening early this year, huh?
Beautiful fresh trees, yeah.
And what's great about it, they're going to have everything they normally have. The only thing they won't have are the nights where you can join in and work.
The
production.
Those are the only nights. But other than that, they've got everything there, which is a nice little story. Now, also, I do believe
I just want to quickly throw in, for those of you who've always wanted to learn how to make a wreath and look forward to production night as a way to learn, Wayne Jenkins, who is the dean of the Wreath Makers, has agreed to do a step-by-step with us. He's got something he can't do it until after December 2nd, so it won't be perhaps as early as we'd like, but December 10th is coming up pretty soon. So we're going to have a step-by-step with Wayne Jenkins. We're going to shoot it over at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, where they're going to provide us with greens and tools. And we'll explain how to make a wreath, but always easier to buy it at the FFA store.
All right. And you've got the real estate section this week, but also there's Compass.
There's Compass. And we've got the Ellen Griesdick and the American Mural Project in Winsted, just growing and growing. She expects it to be done in 2 years. I think it'll never be done because she keeps having new ideas. So now she's got a piano that's been etched with the names of, I think, 180 music artists, including many from the area. And they're also going to be doing concerts on Zoom. This Sunday, November 22nd, Christine Baranski, my hero, and the wonderful Margot Martindale, and Seth Meyer, once again, all stepping up to support the Housatonic Valley Association. It's been a very rough year for the river this year and for all public water spots, where a lot of people have really sought refuge from hot cities and from COVID-19 and ended up on the riverbanks. and there was some, you know, damage done. So we really want to support the Housatonic Valley Association finding ways that we can make the recreational areas accessible and to protect the river at the same time. The Wizard of Oz coming to the Mehewi, for those of you who believe that it's not Thanksgiving and Christmas season without Wizard of Oz. Lori Colwin, who is a writer who I knew many, many years ago, but never knew her, and was a beloved Cornwall resident, and just some people shared the most beautiful memories of her. And the best part was I got to eat Dave Cadwell's famous meatloaf that Blair Brown is going to be reading about at Cornwall Reads Cornwall. Kurt Anderson, his wife Ann Kramer, Blair Brown reading the work of Lori Colwin. Find out more by reading that article. The Wasaic Project down in Wasaic continuing to do really innovative, interesting stuff, building community down there, a new show opening up, and my friend Jeanette Barron, and the famous writer Andre Assaman, who wrote the book that became the movie Call Me By My Name, but was already very well known and respected, and the two of them have written a book together that's part of a series about cities. And if you're really missing travel, what a beautiful book with sort of little haiku-like observances of Rome. And beautiful photos by Jeanette, really a love story to a town that they both know very well.
All right, and as I think I heard a lot of thud of people falling down this morning when I congratulated the All Boards Committee for their swift and smart reaction last night of recommending to all the Region 1 boards in the different towns to approve Lisa Carter as the superintendent, not interim superintendent. Lisa has stepped in and just done an unbelievable job with her whole staff and everybody in Region 1 to guide us through this portion so far of COVID-19. So it's a job well deserved for her, and it saves the district a lot of money not having to do a job search.
And I do believe there are a couple of towns who want to stick with process, and there's never anything wrong with sticking with process, but I think the general consensus that will override in the situation is people do feel that Lisa's done a great job. I think that the hope was always when she stepped into the interim that that she would take on the full superintendent of Region 1 job. She's done a phenomenal job of communicating with us during COVID. Not an easy time, lots of moving parts for her. And there are two new cases as of yesterday in Region 1.
Yeah.
So we hope that they're able to make it through the end of the school year.
I spoke with Ian Striver. He hopes the same thing, too. Torrington has gone to distance learning for their middle school and high school and stuff, I think at least through January. But anyway, it goes to all the smaller boards, and I'm sure they're all going to approve it, and she will be the superintendent. So congratulations to her.
Congratulations to her, but we won't be premature because, as we know, in Region 1, people have strong opinions.
Yes, no.
I understand that Fall Village is wanting to stick with press. I think there's one other board, too, possibly can.
All right.
We'll see. I guess we'll see.
All right. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You can find them at tricornernews.com on the web.